Hello and welcome to The Entrepreneurs on Monocle Radio, the show all about inspiring people, innovative companies and fresh ideas in global business. Today's program is all about perfume. We'll be hearing from the founder of a fragrance and personal care brand with its roots in Myanmar.
We use these beautiful botanical extracts like lotus flower or orchid extract, which are very symbolically core to Myanmar culture or Southeast Asian culture.
Then we'll meet the innovator behind an artistic perfume house out of Barcelona.
I thought it was time to create perfumes that are inspired by concepts from the here now, from the present, concept that everybody can relate to. You create your own scent memories with the perfume. That's why all our bottles are white, like blank canvas that you fulfill with your experiences.
This is The Entrepreneurs with me, Tom Edwards. You're listening to The Entrepreneurs. Pue Sue is a globe-trotting entrepreneur born in Myanmar who grew up in New Zealand, then lived in New York for a decade before settling here in London. She's the co-founder of Gabar, a fragrance brand for mind as well as body, founded in 2020 with the aim of capturing the beauty and complexity of Myanmar. Gabar's debut collection launched with three fragrances, and since then they've expanded into face and body oils alongside scented candles. Pue stopped by Midori House to chat to our own Laura Kramer about the philosophy behind the brand. She began by telling Laura the story of the brand's name.
Gabar actually means world in Burmese, and a lot of our heritage references Southeast Asia or Myanmar, our home country. And so a lot of the scents that you'll find, they also reference Myanmar in very sort of specific ways. And so the scents that you're probably smelling through the fragrances as well as the oils, some of them mapped specific locations in Myanmar. But more broadly, they mapped some of these bigger concepts that we think about when it comes to both our heritage and some of the core values we espouse in the brand. Things like mindfulness and intentional living, some of these calmer and more present moments that we hope to convey. So it's a bit of emotional storytelling as well as specifically referencing geographies in some way. October 2021 was when we launched as a brand. We started here in London, so it's very much London bred and born, despite its roots. And it was an incredible time because, as you know, we'd stepped out of the COVID period. Everyone was feeling their own sorts of ways about what had happened. And it was really interesting to launch a brand like ours, especially rooted in the senses and even travel and exploratory modes in an era where we'd been so cooped up in home. So essentially, we launched at that time with our debut collection of scents, Float, Ground, and Swim. Each of those, again, reference specific locations in Myanmar, but each of them, too, reference different mindful states. So one, float, being this idea of floating in a body of water, senses immersed, like incredibly sort of calming and with all your attention on your physical body, really. The second one, ground, it references this idea of being physically rooted, whether in the earth or in community, or again, being very bodily present. And then the last scent, swim, it's a more active form of mindfulness. We think a lot about this idea of creativity and flow, being immersed in a project you're super passionate about or something that you're thinking about in a very rigorous way. And it's that feeling of activity and flow we wanted to convey. So three mindful states as well as three locations. And it was a beautiful launch in that, one, we were coming out of that very sort of internal period. And so we really wanted to make sure that we did things that were very active on ground and that would nurture community in a very tangible way. So with our original launch, we focused on cultivating a kind of creative community here in London. So drawing on our heritage as well as generally the vibrant creative community here. And it became this amazing amalgamation of like art and music and of course scent and ritual into some fabulous launch events that really percolated the beginning of our journey.
It's interesting because we've spoken to so many entrepreneurs on this program that said the same thing, that the pandemic, everything that we were going through as an international community, it really spurred them on and it was the thing that kind of made them go and chase this dream. Was there a eureka moment that you kind of thought, oh, this clicked for me?
Yeah, absolutely. The pandemic played such a vital role in the starting of Gabar. To give you a little bit more background, I myself lived in New York for some time before moving to London. And it was in that period, just before the pandemic, actually, that I myself personally was thinking about a next move or a different place I wanted to be that I could call home in that way. And I know a lot of friends, entrepreneurs or not, having similar eureka moments in that time of wanting to uplift their life in some way and do something new. The pandemic was about to begin. I was in a shoebox apartment in Manhattan, New York, when everything was crumbling around you in a very like scary and turbulent way. And I remember having these long drawn conversations with my now co-founder, Susan. She was in Myanmar at the time, so experiencing her own journey there. And we talked about this brand and this dream that we had of one, referencing, of course, Southeast Asia, Myanmar, but two, also talking a lot about these concepts that had been so deeply ingrained in us. So both of us are Buddhist by heritage and grew up in a household that would send us to, you know, meditation camps when we were younger. And as a kid, you're like, what am I doing at this place? But looking back now, I realize a lot of it informed sort of the way I view the world. And so we wanted to package some of these concepts, but do so in a really fresh and contemporary way that would reach a new audience. And then thirdly, too, both of us as co-founders, we have such a love for creative and creativity and wanted to bring about a brand that would clash some of these old world values with newer, contemporary, even digitally led aesthetics and bring these worlds together. So when laying that down on a piece of paper, it all sounds all over the place, but in many ways it felt so fitting for the brand Gabar, and perfumery felt like the perfect medium to bring it all together. So,
well, let's talk about that, because you have the idea, you have the, you know what you want it to be. So what's the first step that you then decided to do when you decided that this was going to be the plan?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so fun looking back and mapping our journey, because when it's happening in process, it's always a bit more turbulent. But essentially, the beginning of the actual creation process started with a very fortuitous meeting of a perfumer in New York. So this was pre-pandemic, so we were very fortunate to have that time to actually sit down live with someone, because as you know, with scent, it's a little bit harder to conduct online. So I ended up actually meeting a perfumer and taking classes with him. And that was my first encounter with the art of perfumery. Fell completely in love with it. It was such a blend of art meets science / left and right brains. I'd studied history of art in school, but also finance. So it brought together these different aspects in one medium. And that throttled our exploration of perfumery. And Susan and I decided essentially that that would be the medium we could tell the story through. And then post-Zen, I was navigating a move to London, and we felt it very fitting to first look for a perfumer in London that could help us with the project. So that was when our search began. And it was a fun one because we were doing it from all sides of the world, looking up different people that could be of assistance. And we came across this wonderful perfumery team, Ruth Mastenbrook and her family. They run a wonderful family-led perfumery house a little bit outside of London, actually, so not too far from here. And they seemed to really understand and align with what we wanted to build. They brought fantastic ideas to it. And we were in such admiration of Ruth as a female perfumer, for one, but also two, someone trained in classical perfumery. We felt that was what was needed for bringing those two worlds together and asserting a new, I guess, aesthetic or new interpretation of perfumery. So we loved those elements. And so those conversations began. It became this incredible 6-month-long dance online of sending over reference materials, anything that we could give Ruth and her team that would explain Myanmar or some of the references we were making or the bigger concepts. We wrote stories, we wrote even poems. It was such a creative process. But it got to a point where eventually I moved to London. I could actually sit down side by side, and that flowed very fluidly from there.
That's incredible. So what are some of the references? Like you mentioned the poems. What are other references that might be a little bit more offbeat that you use to kind of spur this inspiration?
Yeah, because we were essentially coming at this industry from an outsider perspective, I think it felt so necessary to bring in things that felt a little bit different to maybe what two perfumers might use in conversation with each other. So we sent over things from the kitchen. That was one reference, essentially sort of a palette of scents or a palette of smells. So we would send over spices. We would send over specific wood materials that had been familiar or something we'd seen in our homes. We'd also send over scripts of poetry as well as general sort of stories that we've written about scenes that we wanted to capture. They did very well for translating that emotional side of the perfumes, because that was so important alongside the actual scents and evoking like specific smells. So it was, yeah, a wildly creative process, but I would say those are the main things that we sent over and got captured.
It's interesting. It's a market that feels very cluttered. It feels very busy. It's also a market that's full of dupes and trying to take the craftsmanship of people who have done it for so long and have so much passion behind it, like you so clearly do. And it's easy to then have it ripped off in not a good way. What are some of the challenges that you've found in the journey so far, the short journey so far, but how have you navigated those?
Yeah, no, scent is a tricky one to market, and you're 100% right. It's a very competitive and cluttered space. But I do think, though, there is room for these new niche perfumery houses that are doing things a bit differently, maybe representing different stories or anything that's been undertold or underserved. It's been beautiful to see a rise of new niche perfumery houses. One of the key challenges we've definitely found is being able to evoke scent and all the bigger things we want to talk about in this very vibrant digital age. And that's one thing we think about often, especially with the audience that we're talking to, which for us is sort of this next generation audience, whether they be fragrance buyers or just generally people interested in beauty or fashion or the arts in some way. To reach them, it's very specific, and being able to translate a lot of this into the digital is very important for us. So we try and get creative with the ways in which we market and we talk about things digitally. And it becomes so important, I think, to think about what scent represents in a broader way and to bring about these bigger concepts instead of just evoking the smell, because it's very hard to describe. And I think another challenge too is, especially coming from, I suppose, like outside of the industry, is to democratize a lot of the language around scent and to be able to speak to people in a more approachable way. I think we find that's really important, especially in the work that we do, where scent can be a little bit of a difficult industry to penetrate. And we find a lot of ambition in trying to break down some of those walls and being able to speak about scent in a more fluid way while still honoring the incredible sort of heritage and the hundreds and hundreds of years of passion and, yeah, like work that's been done to build the industry. So it's challenging to do some of this work, but I get really excited because it means, yeah, new upstarts can really rise and have their stories told in the face of competition and a tougher market.
Yeah, definitely. I do want to get to more scents shortly, but I wanted to touch on sustainability because I know minimizing environmental impact is really important to the brand. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, of course. It's core to our brand. And I think for us, again, we think about sustainability in a bit of a multifaceted way where we try not to use the term as a way to, I suppose, market. It should be core to our brand and it should be something that's very much living and breathing in everything that we do versus something we push out into the world. So when we think about sustainability, we think very simply about least waste and least excess. It's something that's sort of a personal philosophy of mine and also of my co-founder, Susan. But generally, in everything we do in our business, we think about it as least waste. Like, for example, it's a bit of a radical view, but even in packaging, for example, right? There are, of course, lots of ways to create sustainable packaging. You can focus on recycled materials. You can reuse certain things. But at the same time, it's actually most effective to just use less or just have less packaging. And so for us, trying to minimize that every step is very important, whether it's just not using plastic wrap. That's very simple, a very simple decision. Or later down the line, removing certain aspects of the packaging that we realize is not necessary or needed, or supplementing some of the stuff with the digital. So we have this fabulous idea in the back of our heads where one day we'd love to create like a blank perfume box with a little QR code where nothing needs to be printed on it. You have your phone and go through the QR code and a digital imprint pops up, and that's enough for a packaging experience. So there are lots of things that we can do to eliminate waste in the supply chain and in packaging specifically, I feel. Beyond this as well, we think about sustainability in that broader sense of giving back. So of course, as a brand, you're taking a lot from the environment, you're taking a lot of resources around you. So to kind of, in our heads at least, balance it a little bit, what are ways in which we can give back? So for us, that means giving back to the community directly around us. So we try and hire, for example, very much like community-focused creatives that are underrepresented in some way. Beyond that, we give back to Myanmar in some way as well, because for us, we're representing that region and also, I suppose, taking from it in some ways. So it's very important to replenish. So we think about sustainability in that broader cycle, as well as simplifying sustainability to very intuitive things that anyone from a personal to business level can be focused on.
Let's talk about the products you have now. And I know that there are some exciting things happening in the future. So I'll let you lead on that. Go ahead.
Yes, for sure. Very, very exciting times ahead. But as we were touching on, we launched in 2021 with our debut collection of scents. But they're our core line, three specific scents. And then on top of that, we launched recently our first face and body oil. And the actual ingredients itself, again, reference our heritage. We use these beautiful botanical extracts like lotus flower or orchid extract, which are very symbolically core to Myanmar culture or Southeast Asian culture. So botanicals are very much a part of that line. And then very recently, we launched our first scented candle collection, but referencing the scents from that debut line. We found that a lot of people wanted to translate some of these ideas and these emotions into the home space around them. And it felt very natural to bring out our scented candle line. They're hand-poured here in London. They're very simple, but again, very evocative. And we're so proud about where they've come. And so going forward or moving forward into 2024, we have two exciting, incredible fragrance launches coming up. First one launching in the spring and then another one launching in the fall. And you'll see with these new lines, they again reference our heritage in some way, but at the same time, they're addressing some bigger themes. So the first line, we actually worked with New York perfumers, the one that I mentioned that I'd taken classes with. So it's come full circle. And it's all about urban living and city living and rituals around that. So it's one's evocative of a morning ritual, the other's of an evening ritual. So it's very much taking these concepts, but applying it also to the city setting. We know what it's like to live in a bustling city. And it's you always have to find moments of reprieve to rejuvenate yourself in some ways. We're thinking about a lot of those moments. And then the collection coming up in the autumn, it references, it's called our Deities Collection, and it references Southeast Asian mythological creatures and deities. And it's a little bit of a deeper, very, yeah, interesting collection of stories. Yeah, so I'm very excited for what's ahead. Debut collection has been wonderful, but we're excited to kind of expand on that story and build out from there.
That was Pue Su A, the founder of Gabar, and you can find out more about the brand by heading to gabarmyanmar.com. And do look out for the new Urban Collection launching this spring. You're listening to The Entrepreneurs. Next up, our exploration of fine fragrances brings us the curious story of German-born Romy Kovalevsky, the founder of unconventional perfume brand 2787, based in Barcelona. The self-taught Kovalevsky has successfully broken new ground in the sector with smart packaging using minimalist logos and unique sizing, as well as the ability to find inspiration for her scents on the fly. Monocle's correspondent Ivan Carvalho caught up with Kovalevsky recently in Milan as she was on tour presenting her latest creation, Per Se.
As a 21-year-old studying business in Barcelona, Germany's Romy Kovalevsky had been eyeing a career centered on balance sheets. Perfume had always been a hobby, but when her management class took a tour of Barcelona's family-run fashion and fragrance empire, Puig, the first creative sparks began to fly.
I always get asked this question a lot, what a German does in the industry, creating a perfume brand based in Barcelona and crafted in Barcelona. So there's quite an easy answer to it. I recognize that, of course, the industry has its origins recently and from France and from Italy. But I connect that with traditional perfumery. So 2787, it's all about modern perfumery. Maybe you can combine it as well, connected to kitchen, you know, molecule cuisine comes from Spain as well. So I think there's a gap you can step into as well in the perfumery, making Spain or especially Barcelona as well a reference for modern perfumery. So 2787 is my date of birth. So I was born the day 27 in the year 87. And it represents as well how transparent we are, you know, creating the perfumes in Barcelona locally. And it also represents the sizes our perfumes are available. So they come in 27 ml pocket size and the 87 ml full size.
Eager to find her own place in the world of niche perfumery, Kovalevsky began to train her nose by going to trade shows, visiting shops, and going to the cradle of perfumery in Grasse in southern France. By 2016, she was ready to launch her first three scents, which quickly stood out for their refreshingly forward-looking compositions.
What differentiates 2787 from the market is that, first of all, I entered the whole industry from the consumer point of view. I've never worked in the industry before, but I loved using perfume, specifically artistic perfumes. And behind every artistic perfume, let's say, there's an inspiration.
And most of the inspirations I got to know there was from other brands, perfumes I like to wear. They were very nostalgic, romantic, related to the past. You know, some memories the nose or founder had when he was traveling or from childhood memories, etc. And I always thought, okay, what has these stories to do with me? Why I spray it on my skin? And I thought it was time to create perfumes that are inspired by concepts from the here now, from the present, concept that everybody can relate to. So when you like the perfume, you wear it after, I don't know, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, you create your own scent memories with the perfume. That's why all our bottles are white, like blank canvas that you fulfill with your experiences. And so, for example, one of the first perfumes is called Hashtag. And Hashtag, for example, is a concept that everybody can connect to. But also from the brand point of view, it's very interesting, you know, to become creative here. How can Hashtag smell like? It's not another interpretation of Eau de Rose or Eau de Oud. You can become progressive, innovative. And yeah, for me, for example, Hashtag is representative for digital media, which means technology. And technology for me smells metallic. So to create this metal accord within Hashtag, we used aldehydes. There are different types of aldehydes, and the ones we used here are usually used in detergents. So you have this fresh feeling, this fresh effect from washed clothes. And we mingled this one together with incense, and this creates this metal appear. So, of course, it doesn't exist in natural oil of metal. So you have to build cards that represent the smell of metal. And yeah, to give depth to the whole composition, because in the end, what we share on social media also is very personal. We used white part of the incense and a cedar wood. So when creating perfumes that shouldn't remind you necessarily something like you have smelled before, the challenge is to build the bridge between unique accords that makes this perfume so special, unique and rare almost, but to connect it as well to the sense of, you know, it's wearable, it's not that strange. It's like an on and off, how you call it, on and play with the perfumers where we go back and forward all the time until we find this perfect spot where I think the perfume is well unbalanced, let's say, to have this unique appeal. So for example, Wandervogel, one of the first perfumes we launched in 2016 as well, is very unique with the industry and the reference for exotic perfume that is very refreshable to wear is because we use this Nana mint from Morocco, and there's just actually one or two farmers that produce this mint, and a handful of perfumers actually have access to it, and they created a perfume where this mint is as a main ingredient in the composition, and that makes it so special. But of course there's a challenge, for example, with the mint to not confuse it or connect it to toothpaste or chewing gum. To build this bridge, we used, for example, some marine accords, so you have this fresh breeze from the sea, and to build the bridge between the salty notes and this green mint, we used some jasmine and make it more softer and some other white flowers. So that's very daring, but that's what makes fun for me, and it's for me the only way you can create perfumes you haven't smelled before, so you don't have a memory with them. And when you wear them, you create your own memories with it.
For her latest creation, the fragrance per se, Kovalevsky again looks to turn traditional perfumery on its head by crafting a perfume whose formula taps into the ephemeral nature of scent. The ingredients she chooses for per se will change over time, so depending on when the consumer decides to purchase it, they may find a slightly different scent under their nose.
So the latest release and our olfactive logo per se is always a scent that will be in change, in continuous movement, let's say, just like time, as the inspiration is the now. We did a campaign video about it as well called How Long Is Now? So what you can see under the name is a date when we released the perfume, which is October 23. And actually, right now, if you want to smell it, it's very clean, very elegant, white and contemporary composition. We created this cleanness with some aldehydes where, you know, they're very difficult to dosify in a composition. So we dared a little bit and put the concentration a little bit higher. But the main ingredient is the iris, orris. So we have a different kind of orris inside, like from the root to the flower. And it's so exclusive in perfumery because the process of getting a natural orris oil is very complex and time intensive. And to give this modern twist and this aspect of the now,
We used also bamboo accord, which has a little green impact into the composition. As per se, is our olfactive logo, and it's continuously under change, means that when you like the perfume, you better enjoy it in this very moment, because the next time you probably want to buy the perfume, there's a different scent inside. I can't predict and tell you right now when exactly the perfume inside the bottle of per se will change, as I can't predict time or the future in general, but it will happen. And this is a very daring, let's say, concept within the perfumery, because usually you get very attached to your perfume and it's getting very emotional here. And to cut that off and knowing that since the beginning is hurting a little bit as well, my little perfume heart. But I think as we have to accept that time, you know, it's always changing. It's the same with this perfume. So it's a very modern approach. And I think it's our way, or it's my intent, to make an antithesis of the classic perfumes that are out there.
That was Romy Kovalevsky, the founder of 2787, in conversation with Monocle's Ivan Carvalho. And you can learn more about Romy's brilliant brand by heading to 2787perfumes.com. And that's all for this particularly fragrant episode of The Entrepreneurs. We'll be back at the same time next week. The programme was produced by Laura Kramer, with mixing and editing by Tamsin Howard. You can listen again and find out more about the programme at monocle.com. You can also follow us and catch up with the archive via your preferred podcast platform. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, email Laura on lrk@monocle.com. I'm Tom Edwards. Goodbye, and thanks for listening to The Entrepreneurs.